Welcome to ASME TechCast, where we bring you the innovators, the innovations, and the issues that push the envelope of engineering. I'm Carlos Gonzalez, Special Projects Manager at Mechanical Engineering Magazine. And in this episode, we'll be speaking with Hauke Schultz, Additive Manufacturing Roadmap Leader at Airbus. He joined Airbus in 2009, and as the Roadmap Leader, monitors AM research and development projects within the Airbus group. His mission is to build a vision and a roadmap to enhance the use of AM technologies and applications within Airbus's commercial, helicopter, and defense space programs. Hauke will be participating at ASME's upcoming Additive Manufacturing Summit, taking place between March 3rd and the 4th. He will be speaking on the keynote panel, Industrializing AM, Shared Challenges and Opportunities for Aerospace and Energy. Hauke, welcome, and thank you for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
So we wanted to discuss with you the roadmap for additive manufacturing in aerospace and how the industry is changing. And I wanted to start off by kind of getting a lay of the land and understanding how is additive manufacturing primarily being used in aerospace today?
Sure, yeah. So that's a fairly open, long question. Huh? I could try not to answer too broad on this. So obviously, we started like everybody with rapid prototyping many years ago, using AM for wind tunnel models or toolings. And honestly, this is still an important part of the technology. We still use it for there. That's how it was invented, and it works perfect for that. But after many years of R&D, I would say we started more or less in 2014 with his first serial parts in polymer and filament and from filament feedstock, and also focusing then on metal powder bed fusion, first with titanium, and introducing the first flying parts in 2016. So even that both is already a few years ago now, and we use it with other polymer materials. In polymer, we have really a large scale up by now. So with PA materials and powder bed, but also today short fiber reinforced high-performance polymer materials, thermoplastic materials. And in metal, we introduced more alloys, Inconel or Scalmalloy. And well, that's all in the process on the materials. But what is really important today is that we learned a lot on how we use this technology. So for what kind of applications? In the big early years, we used it a lot to replace certain parts, to learn, to reduce a little bit the cost. And more we focus on really the design. So having benefits both in manufacturing costs, but also in part performance, which is very important. And this can be, well, in aerospace, it's typically a lot in engines, fuel nozzles, everybody knows. It can be heat exchangers, but it can also be structural parts to save a lot of weight, which is a really good use case also in space applications for sure.
So as Airbus's roadmap leader, how has the journey been in adopting additive manufacturing at Airbus? I ask not only from a technology standpoint, but also from a workforce standpoint and dealing with your engineers and adopting this emerging technology.
I can tell you, if I focus a bit on this aspect, in the past, there has been a lot of potential to fail with certain small errors. There was not enough standardization. And there has been a huge learning curve to implement AM first time right? With each application that we started in the early years, it was kind of a pilot part. And we had to find out all the small things along the complete process chain, how to do it. And all this took a lot of learning. And then this is kind of my own experience. Now, from a roadmap owner perspective, I also want to really scale up the technology and disseminate it over the complete Airbus group, over all business units, a complete company. And then you need to make sure that you teach all your engineers, for example, how can you use additive manufacturing? And they need to think AM first time right. They need to understand how to have synergetic effects between assemblies and not trying to change one part that was initially designed for another technology. So yeah, it's been a long journey for additive manufacturing to become a bit more of a standard technology. Yeah.
Would you say then the hardest part today is the design considerations rather than the process or the materials? Because I feel that maybe the process and materials are already defined and we know that they're reliable. It's more about considering how to design for them.
I think there's a lot of optimization potential still, but it's true. We have been able to qualify several AM processes until today, and we have reached a certain stable level. We can produce flying parts. Now, to scale it up and to use it to a large extent, find more references, it is indeed a lot about the design. And it's linked probably to the fact that in the early phase of additive manufacturing, or 3D printing, as people called it a lot at the time, the paradigm was you have complexity for free and you can design whatever you want, which is, let's be fair, for most AM technologies, not really the case, especially for metal powder bed fusion, it's not the case. And if you just take any design, you also, of course, don't get the benefits out of it. So you need to design the part in a way that you get the highest performance out of the part, out of the part function, out of the application, if you want. But you also should design it in a way that it's manufacturable, that it is inspectable, that you can manufacture it also for a good cost, for a competitive cost. And this was for sure underestimated in the early phases of AM. And it's still quite a challenge because it's such a multidisciplinary aspect.
But that's a very interesting point about how do we scale up and how do we take this technology and start turning it into a more mass production-based tool. At ASME's upcoming Additive Manufacturing Industry Summit, you will be on a panel speaking about the industrialization of additive manufacturing, which I believe relates to this scale-up idea. How can we define industrialization within additive, and what avenue of production does it explore?
Yeah, good question. It's something that I'm really interested in also. So for me personally, The first thing about industrialization is having a robust process. It needs to be reliable and it needs to be repeatable. And then the second thing is what I already mentioned is about scaling, upscaling. So we have reached the level now that we have a fairly robust process. This is absolutely necessary for any aerospace application. But we're still in a phase of upscaling, and there's a lot of potential to come. So upscaling means we really want to get into serial production with a significant throughput of parts. And then when you reach this level, you also get the right economies of scale. And this allows for a lot of continuous process optimization. It allows for the implementation of lean principles, of automation, of implementing standards, having a real flow production with balanced production means, so you don't have certain machines over your process chains that are standing around half of the day, which is, I believe, a lot of the case in many shops that I've seen so far. But it can also mean full vertical integration, which in the early years has been really, really crucial for us. Why is that? Because we have, especially when we talk about metal powder bed fusion, we have such a high complexity that it can be quite difficult to manage all the interdependencies between the process steps from one to the next. And for us, it was really important to have a production where we have all process steps in under one roof. So we can manage in short loops, and we understand how one process step impacts the other. Now, looking forward again, if we want to scale up and we want to become really good in what we do, best in class, it can mean that we source out certain process steps once again to have a very high specialization. So somebody is doing the printing, somebody might do the machining. This is something that we would also do for castings in the past, as an example.
So part of industrialization is also the distribution of processes so that it's not all on one company's shoulders.
It can be. It depends a lot on the application, and it's maybe a little bit an academic point of view, because I don't want to emphasize vertical integration is always the right solution. It is for sure in the beginning to manage the complexity, but looking forward, you can also stretch the process a bit more again to once more allow for the right economies for scale or allow for the right standardization optimization per process step.
So then in that same sort of vein of this, the trying to figure out the correct network or the correct manufacturing network, 2020 saw a lot of changes in the industry, right? Supply chains got affected because of the pandemic, and we had a lot that kind of fell on the shoulders of additive manufacturing. A lot of companies turned to additive as a solution for mass production of quick, short run parts, right? Things that we needed right then and there. So almost on demand manufacturing. How did aerospace, which I know is an industry as a whole, was greatly affected by the pandemic, right? There was a lot of loss because people weren't flying. How did additive change within aerospace in 2020? And what does that look like for this new year?
Yeah. I would like to keep first at the first part of your question, which is the incredible flexibility of additive manufacturing. Right, it's really great, and it helps a lot when you have this time of disrupted supply chains. So having a mean with which you can manufacture any kind of part in a short time without developing a lot of toolings, etc., and you can do it on site where you need the part, is a great capability and has helped also during the COVID crisis. Then, if I look at the wider scale, how was AM impacted in aerospace or at Airbus? For sure, we have seen a lot of pressure in 2020 and keep seeing it at the moment. We have had a lot of reprioritization of the work we're doing in the project. And then consecutively to that, a reorganization also of resources. And this meant a slowdown for some projects. It's natural as the business with the airlines slowed down, the production rate overall of aircraft slowed down, also some AM projects slowed down. But by the end of the year, and certainly today, we are more than speeding up again. And I think we're coming out even stronger out of this crisis than we went into. Because such kind of crisis, they also have the opportunity for you to take a step back and to focus again on what are your strengths, what is your competitive edge, what can differentiate you from your competitors. And clearly additive manufacturing is a very big potential and is something that can help us a lot to develop and to realize our future products, be it new aircrafts, new satellites, new helicopters. So I think we have had a lot of reorganization, reprioritization, but we are in a very good way to use AM the best way we can and we should for our new products. Also supporting things like getting to a more sustainable version of aviation and aerospace, which is really cool if AM can contribute to that, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of organizations are trying to become sustainable and net zero, and you know, on-demand production could probably resolve a lot of waste and a lot of stock, you know, inventory that kind of gets just maybe sitting on the shelves and is not very efficient in energy.
Less logistics potentially. It's near net chip production, so less raw material use. Huh? It helps having a real circular economy. But it's not only that. It's really also about the products. So I talked about it in the beginning, really using the right design. And AM can help us enable very disruptive new aircraft configurations, which will then also be more green. And that's really cool.
I know that there's a lot of regulation hurdles within the additive manufacturing space. You see a lot in medical. But I know that in the, you know, here in the States, the FAA has a lot of regulation and oversight into how additive is used. What role does regulation currently play in aerospace, and is it getting better?
I wouldn't say it has ever been bad or a problem, in a sense. Of course, it's a challenge. But well, let me say first, it plays a very important role because safety comes always first. For Airbus, we really live that, and it's important for us. But then, of course, it can mean that we're a bit conservative, that we're moving forward carefully, and that we take a step-by-step approach. And it takes time then sometimes, right? So has it gotten to a point where we can move faster? Yes, it has. I would say yes. Yes, clearly it has. We have had a lot of discussions, presentations with the authorities, with the FAA, as well as the EASA in Europe. And we have shown them what we have doing. We have discussed, we have explained a lot of things, and they've understood. And they trust us with what we have implemented so far. And that's really good. So step by step, we can move faster. We can move to more critical parts. Because we learn how AM behaves. We learn that in the end, it's not black magic. And we are very much able to qualify and certify these parts. We are able to do NDT if necessary, but we also have shown that we have a robust process where that we can reach the right material properties, etc.
So my last question, and you know, speaking for the engineers that will be attending the AM Industry Summit, is we always want to understand what does the engineers in the aerospace field, or really in any field where there's additive manufacturing, what do they need to know? What can engineers expect that the AM innovations that are coming their way, and how can they be better prepared for it?
Well, let's focus a bit on aviation. I think in aviation, We have had the hype over the last 5-6 years, right? Something like that, maybe 5-7 years. It has been really, really big, really big new aircraft programs. And at the time, we have been focusing a lot on establishing additive manufacturing as a standard technology, right? We've achieved that today now. When we start now a new program, a new aircraft program, this gives us on a large scale the ability to use AM and think AM first time right. And I believe this will be a major shift in the industry. So if Airbus starts a new aircraft program and can use AM from the first step in the design process as the best technology to target a certain application, we can use it so in so many more cases. We don't need to have any ROIs. We can have the sweet spot between manufacturing cost and part performance. And well, if I would give an advice and for a young engineer who wants to work in in additive manufacturing, but also in aerospace, is be ready for that. Know how do you design a really good application for good performance and for good manufacturing cost, and be ready for this upscaling because it will come. Once we start a new program, what we have seen so far is basically peanuts. We will scale up the technology a lot and use it 10 times more than we have so far. And I think this is a really, really an important point.
I agree. And I think that additive definitely is the future. And I can't wait to see how it gets integrated into not just aerospace or healthcare, but into almost every facet of our life.
Yeah, I think so too.
Well, okay. Thank you so much for speaking with us today. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you too, Carlos. Have a good evening.
I'm Carlos Gonzalez. Thank you for listening to ASME TechCast. To register for ASME's upcoming AM Industry Summit, please visit vent.asme.org/AM Industry Summit. That's EVENT.asme.org/AM Industry Summit. You can find our other episodes of ASME TechCast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, or your favorite podcasting platform.